Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday night, March the 10th. You are listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're listening to this show, So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. So I wanted to kick off with kind of an interesting story. So over at the Human Rights Campaign, there was a big fundraiser on February 27th. And the president of the Human Rights Campaign was giving a big speech. And really, the only thing that he talked about, there was only one legislative agenda that he talked about, and it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah. Well, they've been criticized lately for not paying enough attention to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and so they have a big push out there right now to do it, and now you're complaining that they are focusing on it.
I am.
Which just like illustrates the point of what poor HRC is facing.
Yeah, okay, let's not use the phrase poor HRC again on this show, but so the in a DC agenda...
They are good people good work.
They are, but I think that they have their priorities completely out of whack. And the more I think about it, although I obviously support the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I have been thinking that we are spending way too much time and energy on this. I don't think it's where our priority should be. So in a DC agenda interview following that event, David Smith, who's the HRC's vice president of programs, elaborated on the remarks of the HRC president. He restated HRC's commitment to seeing this year the enactment of domestic partner benefits for federal workers, domestic partner tax relief, and the Early Treatment for HIV Act, as well as the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He also cautioned against reading too much into the remarks and said that HRC is working on other tasks aside from Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which actually brought to light one of the polls that was put out there this week. So, Becca, what LGBT rights agenda item is most important to you, Becca, personally?
Health and safety first.
That may or may not be one of the choices. Here were your five choices.
Benefits,
here were your five choices.
How about equality and sunshine for everyone?
And yet your five choices are...
Why do you always box me in with your choices?
Passing ENDA, the Federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Choice two is repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Choice three is achieving marriage equality in my state.
Why not?
Of Vermont. Choice four is repealing the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And choice five is other, not sure. What would you like to go with?
I'm going to go with choice six.
Which is what?
All of the above.
That is not one of the choices. Choose one of the five.
What is your choice of the five?
My choice of the five is other, and it's all about school bullying laws. That is the most important to me personally.
Really?
What do you think?
I mean, school bullying comes before all of those things.
Yes, I really believe it. School bullying comes before each and every one of those in my mind. That is the most important to me personally. Which do you think got the most of all of those?
I don't know.
I'll tell you which one did not get the most, and it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That only got 10% of
responses.
That's
because right now HRC is focusing on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and everybody's all like, why are they focusing only on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? And then as soon as they switch their focus to somewhere else, everyone's going to be like, what? Did they just give up on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Now they're not doing anything with Don't Ask, Don't
Tell. I totally disagree. I think it is missed place priority. So just for
wafflers, all of you wafflers.
For the edification of our listeners, the repealing of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act garnered 42%. Passing the Federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act garnered 28%, 16% want to achieve marriage equality in their state. And again, 10%, which is only 10% of 100%.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Want to repeal the federal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It doesn't mean...
Of those choices.
Let's be clear. It doesn't mean that we don't support... let me speak from the eye. It doesn't mean that don't support repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I do think it is a misplaced priority. I do. So what's
right after school bullying on your list?
Right after school bullying for me is marriage equality.
So after those two things, like what makes those your top priorities?
They are the most important to me personally.
Oh, okay. That's it. There's not more to that decision.
That was the poll question. And on that note, we want to give a shout out to the Washington State Senate, who last week passed an anti-bullying law that includes protections for LGBT students, as we've established, most important issue to me, with a vote of 48-0. Earlier in the session, the House voted to pass the bill 97-0, Governor Chris Gregoire vowed to sign the bill when it hits her desk. The bill will create anti-harassment policies in schools across the state. Each school will create a... This is great. Each school will create a staff position that handles all harassment and bullying complaints. In addition, the bill states that the school's policies on harassment and bullying must be available online. Washington State, well done. Well done, Washington
State. Ken, you were bullied as a kid, weren't you?
I was verbally harassed. I certainly was, as many LGBT folks were. So, yeah, no, I think that if we make schools safer, everything else is going to fall into
line.
But
don't you think if we pass all of these other pieces of legislation that change the actual climate of the United States on these issues?
I think the climate starts with the youth. I think that that's how we build a solid base. I really do believe that the children, I think they're our future. And if we were to take the time to teach them, you know, well, they're going to lead. They're going to lead the way. That's what I believe. I should write that down because
I think someone already did, Ken.
What I believe.
I'm pretty sure.
Good stuff. Over in the Senate, now this is a big story. This is, I mean, it's like they listen to our show. I think John Kerry does
they
listen,
totally
to, our
listen
show.
To our show.
The time has come to change a policy that imposes, get this, apparently there is a lifetime ban on donating blood for any gay man who has had sex with a gay man since, or not even just a gay man. Just with
just
another
man
since 1977.
Even
who
if
knew?
He claims to be straight.
18 senators last Thursday said they want to change it. So this is from Senator
that's
John Kerry.
That's because they got a hold of our transcripts.
I think that's what it is.
Live.
Senator Kerry said, quote, not a single piece of scientific evidence supports the ban. He joined 16 other Democrats and independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. We live in Vermont. In writing the Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Margaret Hamburg to change this. The lawmakers stressed that the science has changed dramatically since the ban was established in 1983 at the advent of the HIV-AIDS crisis. Today, donated blood must undergo two different types of highly accurate tests that make the risk of tainted blood entering the blood supply virtually zero.
I think Bernie was passing through Brattleboro last Wednesday night.
We are going to keep our eye on this. The senator said that while hospitals and emergency rooms are in urgent need of blood products, quote, healthy blood donors are turned away every day due to an antiquated policy, and our blood supply is not necessarily any safer for it. So just want to put that out there. Big story out of California that everyone's still talking about, and it's kind of really interesting. Republican State Senator Roy Ashburn came out this past Monday because it was following an arrest that he had last week that he might have been driving under the influence. And this is so funny. Senator Ashburn has consistently voted against gay rights measures during his 14 years in statewide office. He came out in this interview. He said he felt compelled to address rumors that he had visited a gay nightclub near the Capitol before his DUI arrest. He said, quote, I am gay. Those are the words that have been so difficult for me for so long. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker to the second half of the quote. When I crossed the line and broke the law and put people at risk, that's different. And I do owe people an explanation. The explanation for him crossing the line and breaking the law and putting people at risk, that he's gay. It was so messed up.
That's kind of insane.
He has voted against a number of gay rights measures, including efforts to expand anti-discrimination laws and recognize out-of-state gay marriages. Last year, he opposed a bill to establish a day of recognition to honor slain gay rights activist Harvey Milk. Now, over on theadvocate.com, right this very second, there's an op-ed saying, oh, don't be so hard on State Senator Roy Ashburn, because when we were in the closet, each one of us gays, didn't we do things just as bad? No, we did not.
No, we didn't.
First of all, we did not.
No.
Second of all, we were not in a position of power. This made me so angry. It was the most ridiculous op-ed.
And no, we didn't.
We didn't do that. Yes, did we change a pronoun or two? Yeah, I did that. I changed a pronoun or two. Did I lie about what I did?
I didn't necessarily change the pronouns. I did the pronoun dance.
Nice. Did I perhaps lie about what I did the night before? Yeah, I might have done that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I didn't do? I didn't oppose a bill to establish a day of recognition to honor slain gay rights activist Harvey Milk.
No, I did not do that.
I did not do that.
No, that's like an oops, I slipped and I have abolished
so,
gay
just
rights
so
leader
you know,
day. Oops.
I also didn't cross the line, break the law, or put people at risk.
Someone is definitely holding this over his head
and
forcing him to apologize. That's what's going on here. Somebody has some really good pictures of that guy.
I think we're going to find out soon enough. And with that, we're going to play another song by Eric and the Atoms. Enjoy.
You're all right. It's just my mistake. And I'm feeling that something has startled you away. No, I've never seen you there. Now you're turning to the doorway. I'm not all you have left. If I let you leave, would you be alright? Would you be okay? Would you be smiling? Or would you be crying? Wiping the tears off, saying you're sorry, saying that you'll be better tomorrow. I've stuck out, I've picked up after you. I've fallen, I messed up, I've listened to the truth. Now you're running, you're hiding on someone else's arm. And you're frightened, feeling
frozen. are at that place you love so much. When someone came up behind me, said I'm sorry for your loss. If I let you leave, would you be
good stuff. Good stuff. All right. You ready to welcome a guest over there?
Absolutely.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. Releasing 6 CDs independently on his own label, Thumb Crown Records, Eric Hyman has toured the U.S. and abroad for the last 9-10 years, appearing on TV, radios, newspapers, nationwide, magazines like The Advocate, tons more. He's endorsed by Fender Guitars, and he's appeared in their worldwide catalog. He was named on one of our favorite lists, the 40 Under 40 LGBT Pioneers in The Advocate. And now he has joined up with Jimmy and Angel Adams to form Eric and the Adams, a rockin' amazing group who just released their debut CD, which we've been playing all night. Eric Hyman, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Oh, it's great to have you back. So now I had to go back to the archives because I had to, you were on one of our first shows when we first kicked off this little adventure, and you appeared on our November 5th, 2008 show, less than 24 hours after Barack Obama was elected.
Right.
Wow, I do remember that.
And we were all, the three of us were so cute. We were just so excited. Hope, change, hope, change, hope, change. It was fantastic. So it's been a year, Eric Hyman.
It's been more than a year.
It's been way more than a year. How is your enthusiasm going for the Obama administration?
My enthusiasm is going strong. I still believe that he is the right choice and that he's making change, or at least having people talk about the changes that need to happen. So I'm still very behind my decision to vote for Barack Obama.
So no frustration with him? You're doing well with our president?
I'm doing well because, you know, I know that the healthcare system, and there's issues that the fact that he hasn't really talked a lot about gay issues. He's touched upon them, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he's talked about changing that. I think there's a lot of people that still stand in the way of change, regardless of whether you want to change or not, and I think he's battling those people.
We were talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell about 10 minutes ago before you were on the air, and I was going to say we, but it was really me.
It was Ken.
I was questioning how important Don't Ask, Don't Tell is to different folks. It's not like
he's just mad about HRC.
I'm mad
always
about HRC.
Choosing one or two issues to focus on, and then Ken gets mad about the 17,000 issues they're not focusing on, and then they change their focus and he gets angry again.
I'm just saying, while I of course want to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it's not maybe the most important LGBT issue to me.
But it's a quick and easy one. Fairly.
Where does it rank for you, Eric?
I have the biggest problem of all the issues that the LGBT community faces. My biggest beef is with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Look at that.
And it's because, you know, I have respect for religion. I have respect for other people's religion. I don't think just because your religion means so much to you in particular doesn't mean that there's not a million other religions in the world, and not everybody has to live according to one religion.
Okay.
But I do have respect for people's beliefs, and I do know that it's rooted in something deeper than just, you know, how they live, and it's going to take a while for them to see how, in my eyes, like marriage and issues that have been in the faith-based arena, I can see the animosity or the, I don't know, not being able to change their ideas so quickly. But Don't Ask, Don't Tell to me is the most ridiculous because it is not rooted at all in religious beliefs. There's no background. There's no, nobody can go to the Bible and say, you know, the LGBT people can't serve in the military. It's just blatant fear. I guess fear of somebody hitting on you, fear that they're not going to be the right people, fear, I don't even know what fear.
All right.
To me, it's been ludicrous. My dad was in the military, you know, and I grew up on military bases, and I just never understood what the relationship between that bigotry and serving in the military voluntarily has anything to do with it.
All right. He pushed it up for me a couple notches. It's still not my most important issue, but it's not a distant fit. Mine to me really is bullying in schools.
You know, that is a very, very valid one, especially when kids are pushed so far that they're, like, within a month's time, two young children, like, kill themselves because they're tormented about that.
Now we got to talk about you, though. We'll talk about you're our guest.
Yes.
We got to talk about you.
Me?
You! So now, when we, if someone were to go to Google and Google gay rocker, oddly, Eric Hyman, not the first name that comes up, which I actually think is ridiculous, and it kind of annoys me.
We should write a strongly worded letter.
I never even put it in there. Who shows up?
Now, do you have a guess, Becca, on who comes up under gay rocker?
No.
Adam Lambert.
Really?
Oh, God.
Which leads...
Some competition there.
Which leads us to our question for you, Eric Hyman. With all the flack that Adam Lambert has gotten... Now, you actually gave a great interview not super long ago where you talked about that... And this is a quote from you. It's funny now that I'm trying to get to the next level. I feel like now I'm starting to hit some kind of attitude from people in the music industry. Like, I don't know if I want to take on a gay performer. Is that something that you, sir, are still experiencing?
I experience that from time to time because it's part of my story. It's part of what made me unique to the media, to the gay media, when I felt like there was nobody that was talking to me. Like, it was all women. Like, all those lesbian singer-songwriters were all talking to me, but whenever I would want to do events thinking I was just one of the gang, I realized I was different.
Right.
Right.
And when I kind of looked out there and looked at who was playing at the time that I started and who was out there, I mean, it was like I was always getting compared to Rufus. And I like Rufus, but we don't...
Right.
And I'm talking about Rufus Wainwright.
Oh, yeah. You guys are a little different.
Yeah, I mean, we sound really different. I mean, I like his style, but I always thought it was so strange when people compared us because we're nothing... I don't think we're anything alike.
No.
Right.
No, you're not anything alike. Now, and this is actually one of my favorite quotes. This is from an interview that you did with AfterElton.com a few years ago. And this is the quote, "What blows my mind is you can be gay but not part of gay culture. And I think a lot of people find it very hard to be gay and not be part of gay culture."
It's true.
So what is gay culture these days, Eric Hyman? What are you experiencing out there? Do you feel it's changed? Because that was from a few years ago.
Yes.
Where do you think our gay culture is at right now in embracing gay artists?
I don't know. It might not be the nicest answer.
Go for it.
I was going with that. I feel like it's dying.
Really?
I feel like there was once this big culture, and people will disagree with me, of course, but in my eyes, I was submerged in it because I was in a lot of that media. And I saw, you know, there were artists who were in film that were getting recognized, and music, and art, and it meant something to be part of this community and part of this group of people that encompassed a lot of media and activism. But I really feel like, I mean, I travel around this country and I still do, and these newspapers are folding, these magazines are folding.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's weird to be in so much media that doesn't exist anymore. Like, I look at pages from things that I've been featured in that I've kept, and I'm like, stunned, you know, that I was once in genre.
Right.
We're genre.
Right.
And then I hear from friends of mine that things have been bought out and changed and not doing well, and certain things are hanging on by a thread, and that knowing that at one time, like, it was huge to be in certain things.
Now I'm all freaked out, and I feel like we need to go do something.
We're just moving to radio.
Yes.
Yeah, but then I hear, like, podcasts and radio and other forms of media that are kind of like everything that's evolved. Very do-it-yourself, and I feel like maybe that's the direction it's going in, but the way that it was, where it was newspapers and magazines and had our own kind of celebrities, I feel like it's not like that anymore.
Now, how are the gay clubs doing? I feel like you would know better than we would, because you actually sing in them.
Wait, he's going to be our Oklahoma correspondent soon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll be your Oklahoma correspondent.
I just saw your tour dates. You're going to Texas and Oklahoma and all sorts of other places, but I don't think we've ever had a call from Oklahoma.
No, you are our official Oklahoma representative. It's a lot of responsibility.
Well, we got a lot of people, and I do kind of feel like the representative because we're actually playing Pride here. We do a lot of events here. I mean, the one thing that does sway being in Oklahoma that I have to say with a quote that you said earlier was that it doesn't, I feel like I've kind of come upon a lot of confrontation or a lot of, like, are you a gay artist? Like, I don't know if I want to work with an artist
right.
like that. I do feel like ever since I moved to Oklahoma, I've done so much within this community that has nothing to do with who I am with.
Right.
I've done things for the United Way. Me and my band, we've done things, you know, for Susan G. Komen. We're actually playing the Dallas Rock and Roll Marathon this weekend. So we're doing a lot of stuff.
How do you feel? I feel like, let's lay him down on the couch now. How do you feel about that?
I feel like that's maybe because of the media kind of quieting down with the magazines and the newspapers. Like I'm saying, maybe the issue has kind of died down. There's a lot of assimilation going on. That's the excuse I hear from certain people about the disappearance of a lot of our media. I hear, like, well, people want to assimilate. You know, not everybody wants to be, like, especially with the gay clubs, people are like, they don't have to come here anymore. They can go to other places. I heard that from owners, from bar owners all over the country.
I've
seen a lot of the places that I once played close down.
Wow. Don't you feel like that if we added maybe some more feature articles to the newsletter that you create, we could turn that into a big national publication?
Maybe.
Isn't that the way to go? All right, so now tell us, let's talk some music here, sir. Tell us about this Eric and the Adams venture, because I was a little nervous. I have been an Eric Hyman devotee for many, many, many years.
He has no fingernails left. It's terrible.
And so when I heard about this, I was like, wait a second, acoustic to something more rock. But I got to tell you, I'm extraordinarily dissatisfied that this CD is only 5 songs. I want more songs.
Well, we're working on it. I don't know. I put down the acoustic for a while and picked up the electric. I met Angel and Jimmy at an open mic a few years ago, like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And I just decided, you know, I needed a backup band for a gig and, you know, they wanted to play. So we started playing together and I was still playing acoustic. And then I switched to electric and we kind of changed the sound and my song started to evolve into a very different sound. So I thought, hey, you know, let's just do this, start a whole brand new project, and they agreed, and we thought of a name and have a lot of big personality as a band, so we kind of just took over Tulsa, and we got in a lot of the media and started playing Pride Fest, you know, under the band name and playing Chicago Market Days.
Awesome.
So it's just a lot of fun, and we are kind of like a little family. They are brother and sister, but it's cool to be included in that.
Are you finding that you play well with others?
I am finding that I play very well with others.
Nice.
Is there sibling rivalry happening? I mean, how do you negotiate that?
No, there's not much sibling rivalry. When we get in the car, it's kind of, I don't know, like we all just tease each other. And I think that's one cool thing to have with a band like this is that it's very lighthearted and everybody can like kind of poke fun at each other and it's not a big deal. I mean, I see other bands and they have, like, all this drama amongst themselves. Like, nobody talks to each other. They just jump up on stage and nobody... I just hear stories about that from other bands.
You're never going to get on behind VH1's Behind the Music if you keep this up, Eric.
Right. You have to pretend like there's some really deep stuff going on back there. Dark stuff.
I can make some stuff up.
You caught Jimmy in the back of a van, and that's how it always starts on VH1. It's usually with Jimmy in the back of a van. Just putting that out there. So
well, Jimmy is our loose cannon.
There you go. There you go. All right, now let's...
Every band needs one.
That's true. Otherwise, it would be boring.
Well, okay, so now let's go through it. So Jimmy is the loose cannon. That's his role. What is your role?
My role is I'm very business.
You are the business guy?
Yes.
Are they going to agree with you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm business, Angel's gracious, and Jimmy's loose cannon.
Nice.
So it's like, I tell you what to do, Angel says, thank you, and Jimmy does your hair and runs away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like we
I want you guys to come hang out in the studio.
It would be very interesting. We also were like a car. I am the engine.
Okay.
Angel is the transmission. Like, I come up with the idea. Angel kind of turns it into something physical.
And Jimmy's the subwoofer.
Jimmy's the subwoofer. No, Jimmy's the tires.
Oh, nice.
And he puts it out into the world.
So you have to align Jimmy every now and then. I'm just seeing the metaphor through to the end.
That's awesome. Yes, keep the metaphor going. We are all parts of the car.
All right, we got to do our quiz with you. Now, this is a little bit, it's a little bit different just because this is music.
He already knows this, too.
He's done it before. But normally we ask people who come on the show to select other music. But, of course, we've been playing Eric and the Atoms all night. So we're going to ask you about your own music. So you, sir, are going to tell us about a couple different songs and what these songs, even if you didn't write them by yourself, Eric Hyman, what these songs say about you. Tell us, we kicked off the show tonight with Every Move. What does Every Move say about Eric Hyman?
Ooh, that's a good one. What does Every Move say? It says that I stay up really late and drink coffee and stalk people.
Nice. All right. And this personal ad brought to you by Eric Hyman.
He's taking that Behind the Music threat a little seriously. He's like, right, dark.
I want to get them on that show. My favorite song on the five song, Not Enough Song CD, is Frozen in the Sun. What does Frozen in the Sun say about Eric Hyman?
Oh, it says, sometimes I feel like I see friends in situations that are... Everything's moving around them very quickly, and they're not affected by it at all.
Okay. All right. We've got to slow down there. And then the last song. That was good. We had to pause after that one. And then the song that's going to play you out in just a few. What does the now classic, I Feel Already, Sugar You Ain't So Sweet, say about Eric Hyman?
It says, I don't take any sass.
Nice. Take that, Jimmy.
Take that, Jimmy. We actually played in Denver this past weekend, and just specifically for that song, a bunch of people came out in the front and started dancing, which I deemed them the Sugar You Ain't the Sweet dancers. And I want them to appear in every state.
And so we got to get them in a video then.
Yeah.
I know. I think we need to do another music video.
Nice. Speaking of, where can folks go to see that video,
to
learn more about Eric and the Atoms? Where should they go?
They should go to ericandtheadams.com, ericandtheadams.
And what is coming up for you guys?
We are performing at the Grand Music Event. We're going to be down in Austin next week during South by Southwest.
That's awesome.
Play the Red Gorilla Music Festival and meet and, you know, talk to a lot of people in Hobnob and, like, see all the people and schmooze.
Good. This is good stuff.
Industry people. So we got in with a really good music publishing company. So I'm very curious to see what comes out of it.
This is very exciting.
Yeah.
You'll point them to this podcast and all will be well. Well, I know I've told you this before. I'm quasi obsessed with your music. Man You Had in Mind is one of my favorite songs. And then
thank you.
And Little Boy Blue is just perpetually on repeat. So I'm so appreciative of all the work that you put into your craft, because it really comes across. It's so inspiring. And this new sound, it's just such an evolution. And I love that you went out there and did something different, because it totally paid off.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's hard sometimes to do something different or to challenge yourself, because when you get to a certain point, you feel like, well, I know what I'm good at, and I know what I do, and I know how people perceive me. But sometimes it's fun to say, you know what, what's going to make me feel challenged and take what I've done to the next level. And I'm hoping that's Eric and the Adams.
Paid off. Awesome. It paid off. Yeah. All the best to Jimmy and Angel.
Oh, definitely.
Eric, keep...
I can't wait for you to meet him.
Awesome. We would love to meet him. Eric, you keep doing what you're doing. It's such an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much, Ken.
All the best.
All right, see you soon.
Yes, thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
You said everything my greedy ears wanted to hear. It was as if I was for you and then you appeared. You had me hook, line, and catch. You even had my friends thinking it was gonna last. Then you vanished as quick as you came, disappearing like a teardrop in the rain. Now you're running round like you're immune. Well, I got news for anyone who gets with you. To be real, I wanna turn this wooden thing we got into steel. You live so fast, you forgot to share. Don't think the last I saw of you was the last time I cared. I'm coming back with a vengeance. You know if you had any intelligence, like milk sitting down for days. The more I know you, the more sour you taste.
That's Eric and the Adams. He don't take no sass. He doesn't take no sass.
That's now the intro to every show, if I have anything to say about it.
What story you got over there?
This one's not a good one. You said that so chipper.
Okay, bring me down.
Try it again.
Oh, hey, what do you have over there on your computer about the gays?
Oh, I've got a sad story.
Go for it.
Well, you know the Day of Silence.
I do.
If people don't know the Day of Silence, it's a day of silence for the LGBT community, especially in high schools and middle schools. People who are advocating for gay rights stay silent all day.
They do.
Very magical. But this year, the day before the Day of Silence, is the Day of Truth.
Oh, this sounds like a good story.
It does. It sounds so much. Did you hear this story
yet? No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, gosh. It's run by Exodus International.
Oh, I don't want to hear the story anymore.
We could really leave it right there, okay. But it's in about a month, so okay. Watch out for that.
All right.
It's all about how, you know, reparative therapy will save the gays, so.
In other news, the principal of a South Los Angeles...
So you're going to respond with a day of silence. Yeah. Is that your...
The principal of a great South Los Angeles elementary school is apologizing to parents for allowing students to carry photos of RuPaul, O.J. Simpson, and Dennis Rodman in a parade celebrating Black History Month. Quote, unfortunately, questionable decisions were made in the selection of noteworthy African-American role models. Lorraine Abner.
Why not RuPaul?
I know, this is so messed up. Lorraine Abner, who is the principal, wrote, she said, quote, as the principal, I offer my apology for these errors in judgment. And the question at the top of the article was, RuPaul, a questionable Black role model? The answer, if I may, is no. RuPaul is not a questionable Black role model. She is a Black role model. She is a role model, period. So that story really made me angry.
And a rock star.
And a total rock star.
Awesome. And on a great TV show.
Oh my gosh, I downloaded RuPaul's Boogie. I just totally blanked out on the name of the song. Don't Be Jealous of My Boogie. I was not jealous of that boogie.
You were totally
until I heard
singing
the song.
Along, oh, right?
Gosh, yeah. No, between that.
Why are we not playing that song?
We're just going to talk about it. No, we're going to play. That's the song that's going to play us out tonight. I will change that up right now. That and the song that Jade requested from RuPaul's Drag Race last week, Jennifer Lopez's Louboutin. I have been listening to that. She was throwing on her Louboutins constantly. Okay, over in Virginia, where there's a lot of drama, Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell has directed state agencies not to discriminate against gay people, essentially overriding the state attorney general's advice to colleges. His directive Wednesday came amid a public uproar over Attorney General Kenneth Cuccinelli's letter last week telling public colleges that they lack the authority to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. So this guy, the attorney general, said, yeah, colleges, you can't outlaw discrimination based on sexual orientation. You don't have the right to do that. So you need to really allow that to happen. But then the governor directed state agencies not to discriminate against gay people. So thank you. Thank you, governor, for overriding the idiot attorney general. I think that's actually his baptismal name is idiot. So it's, I'm not just making that up. Over on the cover of the Washington Post, we had a photo of two men kissing. Did you read about this? The Washington Post ombudsman, one of my favorite words in the English language, Andrew Alexander, reported that an unusual number of readers have complained and canceled subscriptions over the publishing of a photo of two men kissing on the front page. The photo shows these two men in a light kiss celebrating, which I just love the phrase, light kiss, celebrating the day that D.C. started accepting applications for marriage licenses. Many of the readers used anti-gay slurs. 27 subscribers canceled. One emailed one of the reporters who worked on the story to say that stuff makes normal people want to throw up. People have kids who are being exposed to this crap. I'll be glad when your rag goes out of business. Real men marry women.
Yeah.
But then Andrews, and this was the great part. This is what Andrews said. And I'm going to read his entire quote. Quote, did the Post go too far? Of course not. The photo deserved to be in newspaper and on its website, and it warranted front page display. News photos capture reality, and the prominent display reflects the historic significance of what was occurring. I'm going to skip a little bit. There was a time after court-ordered integration when readers complained about front page photos of blacks mixing with whites. Today, photo images of same-sex couples capture the same reality of societal change. So, well done, Mr. Ombudsman, again.
Indeed.
One of my favorite words in the English language. And for sticking up. And
I like
saying,
enumerator.
You're just throwing out words that you
No,
like.
That's the census takers.
Oh.
Who
there was
come
an article
around to
about
you.
There's an op-ed. I honestly didn't read it because I feel like we've talked about querying the census and how important it
yes.
is. There's an op-ed on advocate.com saying just how important it is that you query the census. I didn't read it because I felt already convinced and we're going to do it. So if you are not convinced, there's an amazing op-ed that I've not yet read that I have no doubt will convince you.
And
that,
possibly him.
Yes, that you must queer your census. I just want to put that out there.
Photocopy it on pink paper.
Yes. Well, did you get your sticker? Did you order your sticker?
What if I put a This Show Is So Gay business card in the envelope? Does
not
that count?
Good enough. Order your sticker. Go to queerthecensus.org. We have amazing, amazing shows coming up. We have singer-songwriter Cassidy Haley coming up next week. We want you to send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. We want to know what you're thinking. We want to know what guests you want on the show. We are
yes.
always looking for guest ideas. We actually have just this amazing track record of getting guests that our listeners want. So send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Join up with our Facebook group. If you just go to thisshowissogay.com and click on contact, there's a link right to our Facebook group. Or if you're on the Facebook, you can just type in This Show Is So Gay and join yeah. up with our group and support us just as we support you, the gay community. So that's pretty much it. So you, I hear, have some sort of float this weekend in the St. Patrick's Day Parade?
No.
I thought you were saying before the show.
I will be in Boston.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
And there is a parade. But it's not the fun parade. It's the Irish parade. And not that I'm putting down Irish people, because my last name is Sheehan. So I can't really
I say Sheehan. You say Sheehan?
Well, I'm right, because it's my name.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm going to put my foot down on that
All
one.
All right. Well, I'll give you that one. All right. We are going to play a little RuPaul for you to get out in the world and go do some amazing things. We actually have a very special guest coming up at the start of next week's show. I'm not telling you who it is, though. You must tune in. But this is actually...
You have to catch the beginning of the show next week.
Yes,
Don't
tune in 10 minutes in just to hear Cassidy Haley, though please tune in for Cassidy Haley. We want you to tune in at the very beginning of the show because we have an amazing, special surprise guest that's... I'm telling you, this is a good one. And it has to do with something that we said tonight... and unfortunately, it's not RuPaul, but it might be. It might be RuPaul at the beginning of our show next week, but also it's not. So get out there, folks.
Oh, gosh.
Just putting that out
Everyone's going to be so disappointed that RuPaul. I'm sorry, but RuPaul is RuPaul.
RuPaul, who is a role model. Just putting that out there. Get out there, folks. Go over to ericandtheadams.com and listen to the great music that they're putting out there. Eric said they're working on more than 5 songs. I want to start hearing more than 5 songs. So get out there. Go do some amazing things. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?